As it is Father's Day, I thought I'll just start with a little joke. This man, he was playing golf, and he was meant to be home at 4 o'clock the afternoon, and they went to the clubhouse, and they had just one drink too many, but he came home like 3 o'clock that morning, and the next morning he woke up, and his wife brought him breakfast in bed, eggs and bacon and orange juice and his coffee in his favorite cup and all these this amazing breakfast, and he's like, what is happening? But now he's so shy because he knew he was late, and his wife is going on her way to church, and she's not saying anything. He's expecting the words, and he asks his eldest boy to come to him. He says, what happened? He says, no, Dad, you came home at 2 o'clock this morning, and you were loud, and you fell there on the floor, and Mom came to you, and you said to her, leave me alone, I'm married. So, so he got breakfast that morning. So, for us as fathers, for Father's Day, I was thinking, what would be that thing that you would really want for Father's Day? Would it be to go and play golf, maybe going hunting with the guys, maybe for some of them mountain biking, just like 3 or 4 days, just away from everything, just to go away and just go and be with men maybe. What would be your Father's Day's gift if you can have it? But then I was thinking, and I'm very convicted, and I know this is the area that I've got to grow in the most, is would it actually be to be with my children, to spend time with my family? And I'm very convicted at this stage, me, that I've got to spend time and invest time with my family, my marriage, my family life, my children, for them to grow up to be godly men. And the time that I put in now, I will probably never see the fruit, but my son's wives will have the fruit of the time that I invest into my children now. His colleagues, their colleagues, will see the fruit of the things that I put in now. And it's lots of effort. And we are called to disciple and make disciples, and it must start with our children. And we shouldn't see our children as a burden, but an opportunity to live according to the Word of God. And I did this course, Evergreen, Betty Bridge, and she's got a few very clever people that designed this course, a parenting course, and I really want to encourage you guys. If I pass the exam, I can be certified in that. But it doesn't make you a good father if you pass a course, that I realized. But that we are able to equip one another in raising our children. And what I see is, and I want to encourage everyone who have a calling in ministry to go and do this course. Because in ministry, it's like dealing with children. That's a little joke. I'm just joking. But it helps. I watched a DVD of Chip Ingram on Home or House, and he mentioned some stats. He said that they went to colleges and they did a survey, and they asked them, what is the key to happiness for you in this world? And 97% of all the children that they asked said it's a close-knit family. 97% of them. But then he said divorce is huge in the world, in South Africa as well, but Russia have a divorce rate of 76%. In the States, 25% of all people are living with their own children. It's a husband and wife having their own children in their homes. 50% of children are born out of wedlock in the States. 60% of people are living together. In Europe, people just don't get married anymore. And I'm just thinking, unless you are in a homosexual relationship, then, because it's like all the homosexual people want to get married and all the heterosexual people don't want to get married anymore. But then, there are these 8 or 10 words that if you come from an absent father, one of these words will probably be related to you. It will be something that you struggle with, one or more of them. But it's poverty, violence, criminal behavior, depression, teen suicide, promiscuity, out of wedlock children, domestic abuse by a step-parent, gang involvement, and drug use. So I'm just seeing for us as fathers, we have such a huge responsibility to help and to disciple and to grow our children so that they will not be exposed to any of those things as they grow up. Lots of prayer. And I think for us, we have a responsibility to other parents in our church as well, maybe single parents, where they're struggling by themselves. But we should be the family that come together, that help and disciple one another and the children. I had all the single guys, a big group together with them that Brad led. But the one guy made a very amazing comment, and that really summed it up for me. He said, I so badly want to be discipled, but I'm not prepared to go and disciple someone else. And he knows that's the reason why this thing is not happening, because we all look upwards, disciple me, even me, I also look upwards, I want to be discipled. But none of us are prepared to start discipling people around us, to start, because it must start somewhere. Even if you're not equipped, we must start discipling some people, because that is what God told us to do. In the States, Gustav said to me, Christians, the divorce rate is the same amongst Christians and non-believers. In the States, it's actually passed now. Christians get more divorced than non-believers. And I believe it's because the non-believers probably don't get married. That's why the divorce rates and with Christians are more. 1 out of 10 Christians in the States live a lifestyle that is different to the people around them. In other words, a biblical lifestyle. They live in faith. 1 out of 10 people. They don't live according to the word of God. He said that the failure to hold marriage in high esteem is the biggest problem of the failure of morality in the world. 94% of all sex scenes on television is with people that are not married. So they are pushing a huge agenda for us to have sex outside of marriage. And this is what destroying family life. There's this man, Carl Zimmerman. He wrote a book in 1947 called Family and Civilization. And he looked at families throughout civilization and why the civilizations collapsed. And he mentioned these 8 points. In all the civilizations that collapsed in marriages, the following happened. Marriage loses its sacredness. It is frequently broken by divorce. Traditional meaning of the marriage ceremony is lost. Feminist movements abound. Increased public disrespect for parents and authority in general. Acceleration of juvenile delinquency, promiscuity and rebellion. Then refusal of people with traditional marriages to accept family responsibilities. A growing desire for and acceptance of adultery. And increasing interest and spread of sexual perversions and sexual-related crimes. This was written in 1947. He wrote this book. Go and check it on the internet, Carl Zimmerman, if you want to. But for me, I looked at Ephesians 5. Just go and read Ephesians 5. It's really amazing for family. And I really believe that God has given us family to represent our relationship with God as well. That we can see this is a father, and the father loves his children. And, you know, for us who do not have children, I don't think we can understand what unconditional love is unless you have your child. Then you only start understanding unconditional love when you have your own children. There's something, when you just look at this little thing, and I think it's mine. My wife says it's mine. I believe it's mine. It looks like me. It must be mine. But there's something in your heart that happens with that. And it doesn't matter what they do, you just so incredibly love this child. And God says, I'm your father and I love you like a child. I only started understanding the love of God since I had children. So for me in Ephesians 5, it says, we must be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering to the sacrifice of God. And for me, this is family. We must love one another. We must walk in love. There's a family that came to our house. I was so blessed with them because everyone is invited in this family. They just bring people to their family, and they have many children as well. I don't want to give away when I tell you how many kids they have, but they've got more than three. They've got many, many kids. But there are so many kids that come to their house, and they disciple into people's lives all the time because they understand family. And the family is close-knitted because of the Father. And the Father is amazing. He's such a loving man, strong man, but he loves. And you feel safe. You feel safe with him because he understands the role as the Father. Then Ephesians 5, just please go and read it, but it says no sexual immorality. And I think this is important for us as families. Impurity or covetousness, no filthiness, foolish talk, nor crude joking, but instead thanksgiving. And we must disciple and we must talk about this in our families, that we can come together in pure and holy living standards. Because if we live according to the fruit of the Spirit, it will never upset your wife. It will not upset your husband if we can live according to the Spirit, because we will be love, peace, joy. All those things are attractive things because we are not self-focused. So wives, Ephesians 5:22, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. I'm going to I don't want to go into this too much, but I'm going to tell you what it's not. Someone that I know went to their schools, a night with the parents, and there was this lady that was talking about disciplining children, and this one mother stood up and she said, look, I'm the strong one in the house. My husband is a real pansy. And then she started talking about how you should raise, or what she must do to raise the children. And this is not how it should be. I really believe that for the mother to think about submission in a different way, don't look at the husband, but look at Jesus. That you demonstrate to your children submission to Jesus. Because then you can't pray for your children and say, gaan sê jammer vir Jesus, go and say sorry to Jesus. We can't do that. We represent Jesus to our children until they come to a certain age where they understand it's about the relationship between them. And so we always represent to our children. So we must demonstrate, be an example of what godliness is about to our children. That as they grow up, they have seen submission because mom submitted to dad. I understand I must submit to leadership, or to, as I submit to Christ, and I must submit to Christ in everything that I do. So I think from that point of view, for the wives as well to understand, there is a place that you come next to your husband for the order in the home, to have a happy and a godly home. I see many of the men are saying amen now, but just not too loud. You don't want to ruin your own Father's Day today. Husbands, wives, submit to your own husbands. And the New Living Translation says on Father's Day. So, then verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, and then it talks about there's a place where as Christ died for himself, for the church, we as men must die to our needs for our wives. So serving as a leader is a place of washing feet. This is where we lead from down below. We don't lead from here pressing down on our family. We come from underneath. That's what leadership should be like. 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says, likewise husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I just said to my wife, men are from Venus and women are from Mars is demonic. And she said, you must explain that to the people. So let me explain why I'm saying this. Is the Bible says we as husbands must live with our wives in an understanding way. So we must pursue our wives. And God has given us this hunting instinct to hunt, but to hunt our own wives. So we must learn to get to know them all the time. And that's why God's given us grace, so that we can do this. we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. So we must pursue our wives all the time. We must understand them. We must learn. We must ask them the questions. Our wives must feel comfortable with us because we pursue them as husbands and as men. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And this is in Foundations 3. It's actually very sad that we're not going to continue with that teaching. I hope we are going to. But Fred just said, when you show honor, you always show honor upwards. But here the Bible says you show honor downwards to the weaker vessel. But in Corinthians it also says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. So your wife is actually the spiritual strong person. And me as a leader, I speak to my wife because she hears God's voice. And if I don't connect with her and we are in unity and I make decisions, I'm actually going to allow that, it says, my prayers will not be hindered. When you look at the last. So there's a place that you and your wife come together, we pray together, but you hear input from your wife, but the final decision is still yours. Many times, it will be what your wife says, but you must make the decision, or just at least look like you are making the decision. Marriage, in verse 31 says, and marriage represents the church. I just want to, how we deal in our family is how we deal in church as well. And when we prayed earlier, the one person said, you know, when we do Encounter 2, many people said, yes, marriage is like a jail. Church is like a jail and it's like a war zone. But it's not. The Bible says church is like family. We are family. We're supposed to be family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are supposed to come and pray together. This guy sits in the bar and he says to his friend, you know, my marital problems is because of maths. And he says, maths? He says, yes, my wife puts two and two together all the time. So, marriage for me is Psalm 133. God commands a blessing where brethren dwells together in unity. Unity is so important in our marriage for us to really grow in that what God has called us for. But unity is so important in the church. And when we started praying this morning, I just realized that many of our hearts, someone said they saw a picture of a heart with bandages around. And the one person started crying. She said, oh, you know, we hurt one another so much. And then I said, guys, you know, God showed me I've got plaster of Paris around my heart. I've been hurt so much in church. And this is what family does. This is when people love one another. We are going to hurt one another, but we have to trust God and release and not want to cover ourselves anymore, but say, look, the shields thing in Encounter 2, I also had a picture when the enemy comes, when you've been hurt, you want to cover yourself. But as a church, we all must stand with our shields out like this to cover one another. So we need one another. And if you try to cover only your own wickets, you'll be taken out. But the people around you will be taken out as well. Therefore, take your shield and extend it. But now you open your heart for hurt again. But the Bible's very clear that if you lay down your life, if you don't lay down your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ, you will keep it. And this is faith that I've got to extend. I'm opening my heart because all of you have probably been hurt like I have been hurt in church. And if you want to know what it's like, ask someone that's been divorced. It's painful. It's so painful. But that's not how God has created it for us. We as a church must come together and trust God and put our faith out there for what God says in the Bible, that we must come in unity as a family and as a church. The Bible says, the man shall leave the father and mother, I believe this is for the wife applicable as well, and hold fast to the wife, and then they shall become one flesh. In other words, if you and your wife or your wife and you have an argument, don't first go to the father or the mother and speak to them. You first speak together and then you decide what are we going to do. Most fights will probably happen because there's not unity in the family. You go to the father or the mothers give input into the lives and the fathers or the husbands don't take control. Just look, this is my house. I'm ruling my house. You can rule your house, but I'm ruling my house. When I come into your house, I'll submit under your rules, but this is my marriage. This is sacred before God. We come together. We've become one flesh. And this is also why I believe we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage because one flesh get torn. And, you know, we did blood covenant in Bible school the other day, and I just said with people that the first time a person have sex, you'll never forget that person. You want that to be your wife. You want that to be your husband the first time we have sex, because you will never get that person out of your mind. You will not struggle with infidelity if your first person you had sex with ever in your life was your wife. So you don't want it to happen in the back seat of a car or in front of a computer. You don't want that. You want that experience to happen when it was a godly surrounding with your husband and wife. And therefore, I really believe we need God for that. Verse 32 says, this mystery is profound, the mystery of marriage. It refers to Christ and the church. Then love, the man should love his wife as himself, and the woman should respect her husband. And I don't have much input in marriages, but I've got this one liner that really works quite well. A husband wants respect and peace. He wants to come home and just relax and sit behind the TV and go through the channels, because we unload that way. But the wife wants love, and she wants security. And she will, if you look at another woman, she will feel insecure. If she thinks you cannot provide for her, she will feel insecure, and then she will disturb your peace. You see how important it is for us as men to pray, to let our wives understand that, my love, God is in control. I trust God. I walk according to His ways because I really want to do what God has given me. Also for the men, when we go home, unload, so that when we come home, our wives have a need to connect with us. Then we can start talking to them, because her need to be secure is met then. If you come home and you shut down because you want the peace, your wife will immediately think you're not interested, and she feels insecure, and she gets worried, and your peace gets disturbed. So from that point of view, I just realized for us, it's so important to unload. Even when you drive home, just maybe take a break. But when you walk into the house, you're up there. You're ready, because your children see how you come in, and they are drawn to us and our families as well, so that we can come home and our families can be happy. Just quickly, children, obey your parents. Are there any children here? Obey your children as unto the Lord. It's the right thing to do. I'm not going to talk much about it, but I just want to say, for us as parents, we must teach our children to be obedient to God. This is our main focus. We disciple our children to become obedient to God. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So now, Ephesians 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Fathers, do not, and I think this is what fathers do. We provoke our children to anger. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, this Evergreen course is very, is actually quite awesome. And I really want to encourage you guys to come and do it. But they talk about just, do you want to raise your children in a world view or in a biblical view? World view, my child is the best, he's awesome, he will never do anything wrong, just protect him because he's so amazing. Versus the biblical view, you will suffer, bad things will happen to you, but have faith, God is good. You want to train your children. You want to expose them that bad things can, will happen. But you want to grow our children in the ways of God. Suffering will come. If you want to share in the glory of God, you will share in the suffering as well. So when our children go through a tough time, don't tell them, it's fine, don't worry, I want to protect you. Because you are not discipling your children in the ways of God. And I think this is for all of us as well. We think that when we go out there, we will, because we are Christians, bad things will not happen to us. Because it will. Bad things will happen to us. But that's why God is there. Because He blesses us and He helps us and He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. We will go through that valley of shadow of death, but God will be there with us. And that's what God is wanting from us. So we want our children, we don't want to raise our children to be happy children. We want to raise them to be godly children. So happy children is the one that does all the sports. They've got 15 sports that they do in one day. And then the next day they've got art, 15 different places. And we drive around to all these different places because we want to give to our children the best thing. we must hear from God. What is it that we want to give our children and we disciple them? Sometimes our children will not get a phone. And but everyone gets a phone. Says, life is tough. If you want a phone, ask God if it's His will for your life. And you get Him to connect with the Lord rather than trying to change who we are. Also, we want to build resilience in our children. In other words, veerbaarheid. That we are the first people to speak to our children. They say we open files. That we talk to them about sex. If we don't talk to our children about sex, the other children in school will. And a child 6 years old, they ask him what is sex. And he said, here it is, when a boy and a girl goes in the bushes and they go, 6 years old. We must speak to our children first about sex before, and we tell them what it is. It's between a husband and a wife, and it's given by God. So that when they're out there, they will know how to protect themselves, because we build resilience. We want to talk to them about drugs. We want to talk to them about clothing. For girls, if they're 13, 14 years old and they wear little pants here, do you know what it does to a man, mothers? Any man, they don't look at age anymore. They just look at something else. It's lust that comes into their mind. You must teach your children to wear proper clothing. So that, and when your children go out, think, if a pedophile sees my child now, what would they think? We must wake up. The world is changing. It's not the same anymore. Friends. What type of friends? I can tell you everything about bad friendships. I had a friend when I was in standard six. His name was, nickname was Opa. And I'm not going to tell you what the things that he did, but it was really terrible. It was criminal. And he had a huge influence in my life. And then my first day in army, Opa was there again. And I'm like, oh my word. And he followed me everywhere I went. But he was like much older than we were. That's why we called him Opa. And the influence that this man had in my life was bad when I was still a young boy. So what is poison to our children? What is junk food? What is healthy food? So things like porn can be poison. It will destroy them. Harry Potter, probably a poison as well. But too much TV can be junk food to them. And you don't want to grow your children on junk food. You want to grow them that they can become strong, resilient children, men and women of God, that can resist the temptations of the world, that don't fall every time something, every time they are tired. So, talk about books. What books do they read? The things about Twilight Zone. Can I just say something about that? Twilight Zone is bad, very bad. This boy is 108 years old that bites this girl in the neck. Don't watch those things. It's demonic. Don't watch Twilight Zone. Lady Gaga is a Satanist. Do you know that? Keisha is a Satanist. Satanist. They invoke demons in their shows, in their concerts, and they put curses on the people, and the people come and they open themselves and they dance there and they worshiping Satan. So when we send our children to these things or we go with them, we must start thinking. If you don't believe me, just go and look in the internet. Don't come and fight with me, but just become open. What about tattoos and piercings? The occult. The Bible is clear on it. It's sin. Piercing is sin. Read the Bible. Tattoos, it's sin. The occult, divination, it's sin. Don't do those things. It will destroy you. I want to even be as bold to say to you, and I love Superman. My wife always get upset with me because I wanted to watch it. But he represents the Antichrist. Be open. Okay, I don't want to go into that too much now. Instruction of the Lord. We disciple our children. We must disciple our children to become godly children by being an example first. I can't tell my children to pick up their clothes if I don't do it myself. If I don't make my own bed, my children won't make their bed. So we've got to set the example. If I don't go to church every Sunday, my children won't go because I must set the example. We must instruct them. We must talk to them and talk to them. And especially when they're small, it means lots of talking to them so that they can grow and grow and learn and learn. For us who makes disciples, the same. I've got to be example. I've got to speak into my disciples' life all the time. Help them, direct them. Do correction to build character. we imitate Christ as we imitate God. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go and he should not depart from it. Then Deuteronomy 6 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is what we must do. This is God's instruction to us, to love him with everything we have. And these words, I command you today, shall be on your heart. So we are circumcised by heart. We love God with everything we have. Then you shall teach them diligently to your children. So we as parents must teach our children, not the children's church. We must do it. Not other people. We must teach our children. Where must we teach them? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down, and when you rise. So there's things like house rules that we must bring into the house. We give each one responsibilities, traditions in the house. We sit together. We pray before we eat. We sit around the table. Don't sit in front of the TV and eat. It brings rebellion into your home. Something that I like, when my children is going to be a little bit older, we're going to do a 1-minute cell meeting where each one brings something. One scripture, one a song, one a prayer, and the other one an icebreaker. And he can fart if he wants to, as long as there's an icebreaker. But we come together and we rotate it. And when it's that, I'll probably not fart because my wife will be upset with me, but I might burp. Hey, Leif. So, and how do we teach our children to love God's word? I just want to give you the scripture in 2 Timothy, but I've never seen it. I always go to verse 16, but it says to, Paul says to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. So we acquaint our children with God's word, so that they are able to make you wise for salvation. Then all scripture is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. We teach our children according to the word of God. This is how we train it in them, that they have a love for the word of God. That when they're old one day, they will not live according to what the world is telling them, but they will live according to what the word of God is saying to them. Because it says, the man of God, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. I think I became clever when I started reading the Bible. I just want to put it out there. I was very dumb before. Discipline. Discipline. Let's just talk a bit about the discipline. Hebrews 12 says, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. Discipline is not hate. Discipline is love. God disciplines because he loves us. And he chastises every son whom he receives. And then he says, for it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? It's important that we as fathers discipline our children, but it's always in love. We come after and say, Papa's lifio, but you must become obedient. That's why. And you talk him through it. But there is a time we have to discipline. Discipline is not always hitting. It can be taking things away. It can be getting them to do things. Don't discipline your children by getting them to read the Bible. That's not fair to God. Then, and we must understand that discipline brings holiness into our lives. And that's very important, that we discipline because we want our children to be holy. Proverbs 23 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. You will save his soul from hell if you give him a hiding. It's not a bad thing to give your children a hiding. Proverbs 29 says, the rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame on his mother. So if you don't discipline a child, he's going to embarrass your wife one day. So this one man, Donnie Mankey, said to me, I met his daughter. He was at Mediclinic. He's the CEO of Mediclinic International. So I asked him, I said, oh, Don, you did a really great job. What did you do? And he just said, you know, someone said to me once, you must raise your children so that other people will like them as well. And I think this is important, that we raise our children that other people can like them. Proverbs 22 verse 15 in the Good News Bible says, children just naturally do silly, careless things, but a good spanking will teach them how to behave. So, if your children needs discipline, brothers, in Galatians 6 verse 1, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So, be careful that we don't discipline our children because we haven't taught them. If they can't do something, we shouldn't give them a hiding. We must teach them to do that thing first. Or maybe they're not capable of doing something. Or they are just immature. Or they're very tired. And now we give them a hiding, which is not right. There's also a place where we speak into our children. Just the thing about bullying. Parents, don't let your children bully other children. It's not nice. It's not biblical. Take control. Speak to your child. Focus on the other child. Say, Nia, that's wrong. Poor this one. If your child is being bullied, that's tough. It's hard. It's hard for parents when you are a child and you're being bullied. It's not Christ-like. We can't bully other people's children and not do anything about it. We have to be involved. If a child is crying, we must do something about that, because your child, that other child, is probably going to become a bully as well. And they always bully the younger ones, but Christ isn't that. He said we must surrender our lives that. We must always fight for the weak. Also, manipulation. Don't be manipulated by your children, and don't manipulate your children to do what you want them to do. Manipulation is not good. It's not good. It's not biblical. Be consistent in the things that we do. So manipulation is this. My son doesn't like what I'm doing, so they're going to his grandmother. And then the grandmother tells me, this is not what I should do. And then I submit. But it's my child that is manipulating me. We can't allow those things. Even in the body of Christ, we can't manipulate one another to do things. Rather just pray about that. So instruction and discipline to teach our children obedience to God. So I just want to finish with these two scriptures. And this is where my sermon's name came from, Deuteronomy 28. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord. So there's a blessing in obedience, but there's also a curse in disobedience. The other day someone said to us in a meeting, but there shouldn't be rules because we have grace now. And that's not the truth. We have rules. God has given us rules, but He's given us grace to meet those rules. We can't say you can't murder anymore. There must be rules. This is important for us in our homes. In church as well, to have certain rules so that everyone is accommodated by them. If people come in and they run and do whatever they want to, and we can't put rules down, how can we be submissive to God if there can't be rules? Because there might be 100 people that get offended by 2 people, but there's not rules to help us govern that. Rules are important. It helps us to become obedient to God. Not all of us can do the thing that we think is the right thing to do. There is a place of submitting and say, Papa het nou gesê, dis nou genoeg. And now you listen, or there's going to be consequences. And there is we must speak to our children that way sometimes. And I think in church as well, we come together, we all love God, we all seek God, but we all have to follow certain rules to accommodate one another, that we can all grow in what God has called us to. John 1 John 5 verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And this is the thing about God. When you struggle with a certain type of sin all the time, there's a good chance you might need deliverance. It's not burdensome. God's rules are not burdensome. His rules are awesome. It's love. and it's peace and it's joy, it's good things in our lives, it's blessing upon us. When we are in that place, it's easy to follow God's rule. When we walk in the rules that God has given us, we will not struggle with all those things. And I just want to say, for me, my heart specifically for children and children in our churches, that we disciple our children, whether they homeschool or go to schools. That's between you and God. I don't want to say anything about that. I think both have advantages and disadvantages. But there's a place that when our children is released, they make a difference. Because they walk in a school and they start prophesying. Say, this school belongs to Jesus. And I claim the school. Lord, if I don't like the teacher, Lord, I pray for that teacher until she's saved. If that boy or girl is bullying me, I pray for that boy until he comes to that place. You know, we want our children to be worshippers in spirit and in truth. So we want the children here, but not to run around. We want them here to worship. When they come into the presence of God, they come in awe before God. And our children will turn around and lay hands on us and start praying for us for healing and breakthroughs in our lives because their spirit is so open to receive from God. But we have a responsibility to train and to disciple our children to walk according to the Word of God, that we don't as adults have to do the encounter series and having people pray for us and doing all these courses because we are broken. Those things are supposed to happen in homes already, that we are godly, that we have godly offspring because we as parents have spoken it into and prayed it over their lives. So my last scripture is this: the hearts of the fathers will turn to the sons. For November 2012, last year, I had a sermon, The Wolves Need a Father, and the morning was an amazing response of the fathers that stood up that night. There wasn't such a great response, but it was me and Dion and Morris, and I said, but if there are people who never had a father, if you want to become forward, and all these young people just came forward and forward, and we laid hands on them, and we prayed for them, and they cried, and we cried, but it was three grown men. I'm 43 and 48, Morris and Dion somewhere in the 50s, and we just lay hands on these young kids and just prophesying over them and praying for them. And the next day, Morris died, 3 o'clock. So for me, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but teach them and disciple them. We must stand up. Not only for our own children, but for the other children in this church as well. For the other parents, we have a responsibility. This is part of our discipling, that we stand up and make ourselves count for Christ. Because the fruit and the invest, that's what we invest into these people now. We will not see the fruit, but their wives and their colleagues and this world can see the fruit because of godly offspring that God has intended it for us. I believe God's heart is for godly offspring. That schools change. There shouldn't be discipline in schools. Discipline should happen at home. Children should be well behaved when they come to school. If the teacher says to the parent, your child is disbehaved, it's our responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. So, but there's also a place where the world is becoming more and more broken because there's no discipling happening. There's no discipline in homes. The homes are falling apart. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another. Let's reach out to those ones who are suffering. If people have gone through divorce, help them. Pick them up. Draw them in with us. Just another nog 'n wiel aan die wa, that we can come together in unity and we can see these children come into the place that God has called them for. So I'm just going to ask us to pray. If the worship team can just come forward. But I want families, maybe, and if you're not single yet, just to turn together and just pray. Say, God, we ask you for our family. And if there's someone not in your family, they're sitting there by themselves, just draw them in. We are all part. We are family. That we just pray and we say, God, we pray for our children. We pray for marriages in our church. We pray for those who are single, who wants to get married. We pray for those who wants to get kids. And we really believe, God, for a miracle in our families' lives. Because family is the foundation of civilization. Let's get it right. And we take it from here and we give it out to the world. Because the world desperately needs Jesus. So if you can just turn Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, for our families, Father God. And Lord God, we pray for the husbands and the fathers, Lord. We pray, Lord God, your anointing to be upon them, Lord God. I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will come mightily upon them, Lord. To be leaders, Lord. To be men, Lord God. To stand up, Lord. And Father, we pray and we declare that we as men are not pansies in this place, Lord God. But we are men of God, Lord. We are kings and we are prophets. And we are priests, Lord, unto you, Lord God. And you have called us to be a holy priesthood, Lord. And Father, we will stand, Lord God. We will stand and we will strive for holiness, Lord God, in you. And Father, we will be men of one wife, Lord God. And a father of many, Lord God. And Lord, we pray, Lord God, and you ask that you turn our hearts, Lord, to the children. So that the children's hearts can turn to the fathers, Lord. Father, I pray for husband and wives, Lord, to come into that position that you have called us to be, Lord. And not, Lord, not submission has never been to a man to stand on his wife, Lord God, but to stand with her together, Lord God. And we pray for the wives, Lord, to honor the husbands and to submit unto them, Lord God, and to grow and to understand that their calling is in the submission, but it's huge. Like Joyce Meyer, Lord God, she submits to her husband, but she's got this massive ministry that she's running, Lord God, and it's a place from submission, Lord, that we understand. Helen Ziller is another woman that submits to her husband, but she's mightily used, Lord God, in government. But she understands that position, Lord God. But Lord, that the men will understand that if they don't take responsibility and stand in their homes, the family will never be functional, Lord. And that we will not leave the discipline and the discipling to the wives, Lord. But we will take a role and we will stand because we are godly men, Lord. And Lord God, I want to pray, Lord God, so many children without fathers, Lord. So many men getting drunk and drugs and on high and looking at other women and even having sex at other women, Lord God. Their minds is not in their families. It's in other places, Lord God. And I just want to repent, Lord God, as a man. I want to repent of those things, Lord God. And I pray that you'll turn our hearts back to you, Lord. That you'll take our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh, Lord. And that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Father, I want to speak a blessing over every family represented here, Lord. I want to pray for the divorced people, Lord God, who've been hurt so badly, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll restore them. That you'll restore them, Lord God, that they will in this life still see what a godly marriage is supposed to be, Lord. For godly men and godly women to be together, Lord. Father, we pray for children that come from divorced homes that are hurt and frightened. And they don't want to surrender to someone else because they are afraid, Lord. Father, I want to pray for them, Lord God. I pray your blessing upon them, Lord God. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for children who've been molested, Lord, by grown-ups. Lord God, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us for the sin, Lord God. Forgive us for the sexual immorality in our lives, Lord God, and that we even get so perverted that we take it out on the little children, Lord. Father, forgive us for this thing, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll restore those children, Lord. That you'll restore their minds and their hearts, Lord. That you'll restore their spirits, Lord God. Because they trusted the grown-ups. The adults in their lives, Lord, because of authority. But the devil came and stole that from them, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we pray that we as families will be a place where it's a home, Lord. And not a house, but it's a home where people will feel welcome, Lord. And I pray resilience over our children, Lord God, that they will not go out there and go and test the dacha and the cocaine and all those things, Lord. But they will just say, no, it's not for me. This is not biblical. But can I tell you about Jesus? Father, I pray, Lord God, for men and women, Lord, to know, young people to be grown and discipled with the Spirit of God in them, that they will know that the Spirit in me is greater than the Spirit out there in the world, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, Lord. Father, I pray for young, for children to stand up, Lord God, in the prophetic, Lord God, to be worshippers, Lord, of Spirit and in truth, Lord. Father, I just prophesy that they will hear your voice, Lord, and they will speak prophecies in our lives, Lord, and they will lay hands on the sick and be healed. They will lay hands on the dead and they will stand up, Lord, because they will have childlike faith, Lord God, childlike faith, faith that believes. Faith, great faith, Lord. They will come to you like little children, Lord. They will not be affected by this world. But they will be in this world, but they will be godly children, Lord, ambassadors of Christ in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that's been hurt in the past, Lord God. And I want to speak healing over our hearts, Lord, in this church, Lord, that we are, and I declare that we are a family, Lord God. And you are head of this family, Jesus. I just declare that you are head over this family in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I want to pray specifically for Cotlands today, Lord God. Lord, I pray for those little children, Lord, and my heart really broke, Lord. So many kids, Lord, and they just wanted to be touched, Lord. But Lord, as Cindy just said to me, they can't allow each person to just come in and touch these children because those children will be brought up to trust anyone. But there's no authority figures in their lives, Lord God. But I pray, Lord God, that those children will be adopted in the name of Jesus. That they will have godly lives, Lord. I pray healing over children that have AIDS, Lord. Children that have TB, Lord God. Because of the parents, Lord God. I pray for the children whose parents are addicted to tick, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that those children will be blessed in the name of Jesus and healed. And be godly children, Lord God. And Lord, that war with all those kids, they live 2 years, 3 years, 4 years old, and then they die, Lord God. We pray that that war will not grow, Lord God, but it will be taken away by the Spirit of God. Father, we pray that you'll release finances on Cotlands, Lord. I pray for every person that works there, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they will be filled with the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Cotland, Lord. And that as they expand, Lord, that the children can be looked after, Lord. The leaders of tomorrow, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in this community that you open our hearts to our children, Lord. And to Cotland, Lord. And that we can go and learn from them and see how they do things, Lord God, as well, Lord. That we can help them and support them as they learn and teach these children, Lord. But Lord God, we pray for the children, the legitimate children, Lord God, the orphans. And we pray that every orphan will have a father, Lord. Lord, that video picture that I saw, these children without arms or legs from Iraq. And they had lived normal lives because of two people that just brought in 12 children in their lives. And the husband says he's the break because his wife just want to bring in more children. But these children are well equipped, well discipled in Christ. They play piano and they do awesome things, Lord, because of two people that cared. Lord, I pray that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Give us compassion for these children, Lord God. For the children, Lord. For our own children, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, that our children will not be seen, will be seen and not heard, Lord God. But they will be discipled to be children of God, Lord. To make a difference in this world, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for every person here to stand up and to go and make disciples, Lord. Father, we cannot wait anymore, Lord God. We cannot wait anymore. We must stand up now, Lord God. I pray that you come, Lord God. You said your Holy Spirit will come and give us power. And we'll be your witnesses. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. For a mighty work of God, Lord. And start with the fathers, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Start with the fathers, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I just believe God is saying, if the fathers is not going to stand up, he's going to raise up the children. Thank you. May God bless you. May God keep you. fathers, have a great Father's Day. I'm going to have pizza now. Misschien a beer. No, I won't. I've got a beer tonight again. So have a great one. Enjoy the biltong. And may God really bless you.